hymn number 208.
Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood? Alone.
can bless. Jesus is mine. If blood was stole away, Jesus is mine.
See everybody, it truly is truly good to see your smiling faces, and I'm glad the Lord has enabled you to be here, enabled us all to be here today to meet and open His Word and worship together. Nothing like it on the face of the earth. Thankful to be here, thankful for the opportunity. I'd like us to turn to the book of 1 John this morning for our scripture reading, chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. I'd like to read down through verse 13. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ. Not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Our kind and gracious and merciful Heavenly Father, we bow before you this morning, and we first of all give you thanks for your great goodness and mercy to us, given us in Christ Jesus our Lord. We thank you for him most of all, our dear Savior, our dear Redeemer, him who died for us, who now sits at thy right hand to intercede for us, our hope of heaven, our hope of eternal life, our all in all, our life. Help us to honor him this morning. Help us to set him forth. We pray, Lord, you'd send your Spirit. May your Spirit be our teacher this morning as he shows us the things of Christ. Help us to worship truly, genuinely, wholeheartedly, and be in our midst to bless us together. We pray that you'd help us and edify us and establish us in your word this morning. We are in need of thy presence, in need of thy word to teach our hearts, to lead us, to guide us, to light our path, to encourage us. We're weary, Lord. Our hearts are weary. Our souls are weary. Our souls are weary of this world. Our souls are weary of ourselves. Our souls are weary of our sin. We're weary travelers. And we come this morning because we need to come. We need to be refreshed. We need to be reminded. We need to be taught. We need to be led. We need to hear your voice. Speak to us, we pray. Many also struggle with ailments of the flesh and of the mind, are weak, and we ask, Lord, that you'd be with them, whoever they may be, whether they're here, some can't be here. Lord, you know who they are. We're apt to forget, but you don't forget. And you remember your sheep, we know. We ask, Lord, that you'd leave us not to ourselves. Go with us through this service and be in our midst to bless us. Speak to every heart. Call out your sheep. And we'll give you the praise for everything. And thank you in Christ's dear name. Amen.
Let's stand together and we'll sing the hymn of the day on the back of the bulletin.
Yeah.
We all have sinned against our God. Exception none can boast, but he that feels the heaviest load will prize forgiveness most. Can we rightly keep? For who the Psalms can know? Some souls are 50 pieces deep, and some 500 oh. But let our debts be what they may, however great or small, as soon as we gives us all. 'Tis perfect poverty alone that sets the soul at large, while we one might our own. We have no full discharge.
I'm glad you come and preach to us what the Lord's put on your heart.
Thank you, Houston. Find our text this morning in John chapter 6. John chapter 6. Very familiar portion of Scripture. I'd like to begin this message this morning at the end of the message. So I want to start where I want to end. We'll come back to this at the end. Let's read together there our Lord's question to His disciples. He says in verse 67, "And Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? Then Simon Peter answered Him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Will ye also go away?" Peter answered, "Lord, to whom shall we go?" No doubt, as believers, you have uttered that same response in your heart when that question has come to your mind. Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe, Peter said, and we are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. That's where I want us to wind up this morning, saying that in our hearts. That place of faith,
that place of assurance. And we can say, we are sure, we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And you know, it thrills my heart to think that my troubled, sinful soul and mind and heart can be brought to that place of rest, that place of certainty, that place of peace. And as I gaze upon my Redeemer and consider Him, and that's the only thing that can do that, is a view of Him, a view of Christ our Redeemer. Only a divine revelation enables us to see Him who we cannot see with our natural eye. Only God can reveal Himself to us and show us that He has the words of eternal life. And my prayer is this morning that Christ will reveal Himself to us this morning. And that's a prayer we constantly pray. Every time we bow our heads in prayer, every time we meet, that prayer comes to our heart and our mind. Show us the Son. Show us Christ. Reveal Christ to my mind, to my heart, to my soul. You see, that's our remains. Always has been and remains our great need, our great necessity, that we would see Christ as He is and believe Him as He is. Nothing else will do. Not a belief in doctrine or facts or figures or anything in this world, anything that we can conjure up in our minds and our hearts to give us any confidence. Our only confidence can come from seeing Christ as He is.
Yeah.
And you know, we read in our Lord's Prayer over there in John 17. Turn there with me for just a moment and look in verse 8. John 17, verse 8. Our Lord, as He prays to His Father, He says in verse 8, "For I have given unto them the words which Thou gavest Me." He's talking about those that the Father had given Him. He said, "I've given them the words that You gave Me, and they received them. And they've known surely that I came out from Thee, and they have believed that Thou didst send Me." They have known surely. Our Lord confirms what we read in John chapter 6. This is something that our Lord convinces us of when He reveals Christ to us. You know, our Lord can never overstate a case. And when the Lord reveals Himself to us and convinces us of who Christ is, we're sure who He is. And we never doubt that. We never doubt who Christ is. What is it that we know surely about Christ our Lord? That the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to this earth 2,000 years ago, He is who He said He is. He is that Christ. He is the sovereign Lord. He's the substitute for sinners. He's the sacrifice for sin. He's the high priest that has access to the Father. He's the promised Messiah. He's the anointed King. He's the Son of the living God. That's who Jesus Christ is. And we know that surely. No doubt about it. This is one thing that God teaches us and makes us sure of, who His Son is. We're sure of it. You know, Peter denied the Lord 3 times. And though in his flesh he was yet a sinner, when our Lord asked him, "Whom say ye that I am, Peter?" what was his answer? "Thou art the Christ." the Son of the living God. You know, we sing that song, "False and full of sin I am." Oh, that's true. But then we sing, "But Thou, You're full of truth and grace." And we keep coming to Him. He's full of truth and grace. We're sure about that. We're sure about Him. Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And the Lord told him, He said, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but My Father which is in heaven." So do we think that God can reveal this to a man and that man not be sure of it? If God convinces you of something, you're convinced. If God teaches you something, you've learned it. And you know it. You see, this is the work of God. The work of God. We read in Luke 10:22 that no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father. And who the Father is but the Son. And he to whom the Son will reveal Him. It's by revelation. And we'll learn here in a minute that the natural eye cannot see Christ for who He is. So it's with confidence that we preach Christ. We proclaim who He is. We don't preach, "This is what we believe." No, but rather, "This is the truth. This is the true God, the only true God, Jesus Christ, whom God has sent." Paul said, "Let him be damned if someone comes to you and preaches another gospel." So then if it's God's revelation, if it's God that has taught us, if it's God that brings to us a knowledge of Christ, can we not boldly proclaim Him whom God has revealed? See Him whom God has revealed. And we can boldly proclaim Him. We can be sure of Him whom we preach and proclaim and whom we believe and trust. God the Father testified of Him on the Mount of Transfiguration, and He spoke out of the cloud. He said, "This is My beloved Son, and I'm well pleased in Him." And you hear Him. You hear Him. You hear His words. "I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him." Our Lord said, "My sheep hear My voice." They hear My voice, what I say, what I speak, the words that I speak, and they follow Me. And He said, "A stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers." I'll turn over with me to the book of Luke chapter 10. I want us to read a few verses there and make some comments. Beginning in verse 38, we read, "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me.' And Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful. And Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her.'" What was it that Mary chose? We read in verse 39, "She sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word." And our Lord said, "That one thing is what's needful. That one thing. is to sit at His feet and hear His word. You're cumbered about with many things. Martha, settle your heart, settle your mind on one thing, not many things. Be careful for one thing, that needful thing. Sit at the feet of Christ and hear His word. And that's why we come here today, aren't we? We're here sitting at the feet of Christ. Lord, speak to me. Speak your word to me. Make your word real and effectual in my heart. A true disciple sits at the feet of his master and believes what his master tells him, even when he cannot comprehend the meaning or see the reasons for what his master says. And happy is that man who lays aside his own wisdom to be taught of the Lord. Oh my, God, bring us to that place. Bring us down. Bring us to your feet. Why do we think we have any wisdom to begin with? You know, we came into this world having nothing and knowing nothing. And if we know anything, where did we get that knowledge? The Scripture says, what do we have that we haven't received? We mostly think that means material things, and that's true. What material things do we have that we haven't received, that hasn't been given to us? But it's not speaking only of material things. But would that not include wisdom and knowledge? What wisdom and knowledge do you have that you've not received? You know, we're so small. We're so ignorant. We occupy such a small space physically in light of the universe and all that there is. We occupy such a small space in time, much less eternity. From the day we're born to the day we die, what is that? It's a vapor. It's vanity. But yet in our pride, we think we have wisdom and knowledge and don't need Christ to teach us. You know, we can't look back. You know, if you look back 100 years, we didn't exist. You look forward 100 years, we'll be gone. Our flesh will be in the grave if the Lord doesn't come before that. And can we look back before we were born to know what happened? We rely on what we're told, what books tell us, what men that lived before us tell us. And you keep going back and you keep going back. Clean back to Adam. And Adam was brought into an existence and had a beginning. But we can't even beyond that. Our Lord was there. He said, in the beginning, I was there. When God laid the foundations of the earth, I was there. And we look forward into the future. We can't see past this moment, much less even if we look beyond our life. You know, God fills eternity. We know not the future. We know what not the next moment holds. We're so weak and so small and so confined and so finite and so fleshly that we must look to the eternal God who inhabits eternity to come and condescend and teach us and speak to us the words of eternal life. We can't enter into eternity and the things of eternity. God must come and teach us and reveal Himself to us. We read in Isaiah 54:13, all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. The Lord must teach us. And our Lord admonishes us in Isaiah 55, incline your ear and come unto me, hear, and your soul shall live. Hear the words of God.
And that's why we endeavor to invite men to come and hear the gospel, to come and hear the Word of God, come to a place where the Word of God is open. The Word of God, the only absolute authority. The Word of God, the eternal Word of God. And that's why we endeavor to invite men to come and hear. Come and hear what God says. Our Lord said in John 6, in verse 63, we're reading in that chapter, but He says a little further on, He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." The Word of God is quick, life-giving. It's powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. The Word of God. He said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." And God has to make that so to a man's heart. Peter in our text answers our Lord, "To whom shall we go? Thou, and Thou alone, hast the words of eternal life." And how do we know this, or why do we know this? Because we know who Christ is. We know who you are. Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And we're sure. And we are sure of that. And Peter and the disciples had just heard our Lord publicly affirm who He is. So I'd like to go back before this, earlier in that chapter in John 6. Let's begin and look at verse 25. You know, these men had just witnessed the feeding of the 5,000 with the five loaves and the two fishes. And they had sought our Lord. And it says here, beginning in verse 25, "And when they had found Him on the other side of the sea, they said unto Him, Rabbi, when camest Thou hither? And Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek Me not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath God the Father sealed. Then they said unto Him, What shall we do, that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on Him whom He has sent." This is the work of God, said Jesus, that you believe on Him whom God has sent. The whole work of God consist in a right belief of God's dear Son. And small as in some men's eyes these things may appear, it's the greatest work on earth. And never wrought in any man's heart but by a miracle of grace, that he can be made to see who Christ is. It is indeed what Christ calls it, God's work. And not man's. It is wrought by the Spirit of God in the heart. And let's read on in verse 30. They said therefore unto Him, "What sign showest Thou then, that we may see and believe Thee? What dost Thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto Him, "Lord, evermore give us this bread." And Jesus said unto them, "I am the bread of life. He that cometh to Me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on Me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that ye also have seen Me and believe not.
For the bread of God is He. It's a person. It's He Himself. My Father giveth you the true bread, He said, from heaven, and giveth life unto the world. And again in verse 33, for the bread of God is He which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. And if we look ahead just a little bit down there in verse 38, He says, for I came down from heaven. I'm the one that came down from heaven. He it is who speaks with you is the one that came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of Him that sent me. I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. We read there in verse 36. I'll invite your attention there for a moment. He says, but I said unto you, you also have seen me and believe not. You know, at first glance, this is astounding. As these men, they looked into the face of the Son of God and did not believe Him. Isn't that striking to you? And these men, they just seen a great miracle. They not only saw it, but they experienced the result of it. He said, you did eat of the loaves and the fishes that I provided. They said in verse 14, this is of a truth. That prophet that should come into the world, no ordinary man could do such miracles as this. This is of a truth, that prophet that should come into the world. We suspect he may be somebody special, what they said. And in verse 15, it says they would come and take him by force and make him a king. We wanted him to rule over us and feed us and fill our bellies. But our Lord said this in Matthew 12. He said, an evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. And He said in Luke 11, verse 30, He said, for as Jonas was a sign unto the Ninevites, so shall also the Son of Man be to this generation. Our Lord has just told them, this is the work of God, that ye believe on Him whom He hath sent. But they saw Him, they heard His words, yet they believed not. They saw His miracles. You see, true faith believes God. Believes God. And brothers and sisters, and you young ones, you children, hear this. Hear this. God is to be believed. God is to be believed. He's the Creator. You're the creature. And Scott taught us this years ago, and I never forgot it. It's never presumption to believe God. It's never presumption to believe God. You're not venturing. It's presumption to do otherwise. You say, well, I don't know if I'll believe God or not, or I don't think there's enough evidence. I haven't been convinced of it. You do so at your own peril. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. It's never presumption to believe God. And you know, folks like we're reading about here, they say, I'll not believe because I cannot see. I don't believe because I've not been convinced that these things are so. And seek a sign. I need to be convinced. But true faith seeks no sign. I want you to turn over to John chapter 11. and we read the account of Lazarus and Christ raising him from the dead. If we look up there in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee." Jesus said unto her, "Thy brother shall rise again." Martha said unto him, "I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said unto her, "I'm the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." And he asked Martha, he said, "Believest thou this?" And look over in verse 40. Jesus said unto her, "Said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God?" And notice the order there. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see. Now we would, in our pride and self-worth, would by nature insist, "Well, you raise Lazarus from the dead, then I'll believe you." And that's not how it works. God says, "You believe, and then you'll see." But we desire, men in their natural state, desire to come to Christ with their faith, that they worked out by making their own judgments. But no, we come to Christ for faith. We come to Christ believing. We see here the evidence of spiritual deadness in us. Our Lord says over in verse 63 in John chapter 6, He says, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." Yet, as I said before, looking face to face with the Son of God and hearing Him speak the words of life, it had no effect on them. And in verse 42, they said this. They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know?" Joseph was not his father. God alone was his father. Blind were they to the Son of God. This is the Son of God, not the son of Joseph. Virgin born. They murmured at him. They knew what their eyes saw. They believed what they saw with their eyes. And they murmured at him because he said, "I'm the bread which came down from heaven." He said further, "No man can come to me," in verse 44, "except the Father which has sent me draw him. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, he comes to me." He said in verse 36, "You also have seen me and believe not." But notice what he says immediately in verse 37. "All that the Father giveth me shall come to me." And what is the response we read in verse 66? These men ended up from that time after he spoke with them, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. He asked the 12, "Will ye also go away?" You know, this generation of false preachers and false religion would have us believe that the Lord is begging men to let Him save them. But here, He proclaims in verse 37 that all the Father giveth me shall come to me. And as we read in verse 67, He said, "Will you also go away?" He invites His disciples to leave. Invites them to leave. He's not begging them to stay.
He invites them to leave if they can. Because you know if we can, we will. Won't we? If we can, we will. If we can leave Christ, we will leave Christ. You see, Christ does not need us. We need Him. And Christ is not the beggar. We are. And that's the truth. And He's shown us that. And He's taught us that. And we must have Him. And as I've heard a preacher say, we cannot not believe. We cannot not believe. Just as we're sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God, we cannot not believe that. We cannot not believe that. Turn to John 10. Let's read this together for a moment. In verse 26, our Lord says to these He's speaking to, "But you believe not because you're not of My sheep. As I said unto you, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of My hand." That's what our Lord said. My sheep hear My voice. Just as He told these men in John 6, all the Father giveth Me, they'll come to Me. You see Me and believe not. Immediately. He wasn't discouraged. He didn't beg Him to believe Him. He said, all the Father giveth Me shall come to Me. And My sheep hear My voice, and they follow Me. And He says, I give unto them eternal life. You suppose if God gives you something that you'll not have it? There's something else that, you know, we can be sure of. If God gives me eternal life, I can never die. I shall never perish. And God must be the giver of life, of eternal life. And if He gives you eternal life, shall you remain dead? Shall you ever lose your life? It's not eternal if you can lose it. You know, Adam and Eve would have lived forever, but it was dependent upon their obedience. And I don't know what kind of life they had, but it wasn't eternal life because they lost it. But we have eternal life given to us by God. And we can rest, He said, and they shall never perish. We don't rest in our faith. We rest in Him who has promised and who has said, they shall never perish. I've given them eternal life, and they shall never perish. See, Christ's sheep are in His hands, and God the Father has put them there, both as an instance of His love to Christ and them, and this was done from all eternity, even when they were chosen in Him, so that we are in the hands of Christ before we were in the loins of Adam. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? So God hath put us in Christ's hands, and we cannot get out. And He said, no man shall be able to pluck them out of My hand. And we don't want to. We don't want to be taken out. We don't want to. And we cannot. I take that to mean we cannot take ourselves out of the hands of Christ. And that we would if we could. If God would remove His restraining hand from us. But we cannot, because we're in His hands. And we're secure in Him. Back in John 6, our Lord continues in verse 51. He said, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is My flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, How can this man give us his flesh to eat? And Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. For he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. Now we know the meaning of these words are spiritual. We don't literally eat the flesh and drink the blood of Christ, but the believer believes on Christ and has a hunger and thirst for Him. As we hunger and thirst for food in our fleshly bodies, our spirit hungers and thirsts for Him, and we partake of Him by faith. As meat looked upon does not nourish the soul, Christ looked upon does nothing for our sin, but Christ being partaken of by us, from which our souls derives its life and its nourishment. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And except ye eat the flesh of the Son of God and drink His blood, ye have no life in you. So many of His disciples did what men do. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for their foolishness to him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. These men are spiritually dead, have no spiritual life. And their natural response, how can he give us his flesh to eat and his blood to drink? How can that be? And they said, this is a hard saying, who can hear it? And many of them went back. Verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, Doth this offend you? What and if you shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, Therefore said I unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Oh my, these are hard sayings for the flesh, for natural man. The flesh profiteth nothing. No man can come to me except it were given unto him of my Father. You're dependent upon what my Father gives. And from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. I think it was Spurgeon that said this. He said, you know, there are many points and particulars in which the gospel is offensive to human nature and revolting to the pride of the creature. It's not intended to please men. Our Lord lays the axe to the root of the tree and casts down human pride. This humbling doctrine they could not receive. And they would only believe as far as they could understand, as far as their corrupt minds would allow them to understand. And so they went back and walked no more with him. Oh my. You remember what Job said when the Lord tried him? And I'm sure he was perplexed and troubled. But Job said, Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. Though he slay me, I'm going to trust him. I must trust him. There's nowhere else I can go, which is what we read in the beginning. So let's go back to where we started. Verse 67. Then Jesus said unto the 12, Will ye also go away? And then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And I know this, and you do too. Were we left to ourselves, I can't tell you any reason why we should not go as these have in our text. Nor could I tell you why the best man here should not be the worst before tomorrow morning if the grace of God left him. I know that to be true. And our Lord is not asking this question for Himself, for He knew Judas, one of the 12, would betray Him. But He asked it for us. Will you also go away? May God keep us low. May God keep us low. Spurgeon said this too. He said, if you're a half inch above the ground, you're a half inch too high. And Lord, keep us low. Keep us needing Christ. Keep us crying out for Christ. As these scriptures this morning do, if we're blessed with ears to hear, they bring us very low and leaves us without life apart from Christ. And may He continue to create in us a hunger and thirst for Him and make Him our daily sustenance. Oh, for grace to say with Peter, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that Thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. And I read this morning in 1 John. I'd like to read it with you once again in closing. 1 John chapter 5. In verse 11. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If by reason of famine or bread the body languisheth and dieth, it is but a death a little premature, in which would otherwise have died in due time. But the soul without Christ, the bread of life, that true bread from heaven, must famish forever, and though existing, lives only to eternal misery. God save us, God keep us low, keep us looking to Christ, keep us coming and sitting at His feet, and may He speak to our hearts. And may God bless His word this morning. I trust that Christ was honored. And Donnie sent me a text this morning. He said, I pray that the Lord would help you to honor Christ and edify the saints. And I said, that was my prayer too, Brother Donnie. And that word edify, it means establish. I hope we've established our hearts in Christ this morning to a measure. May God grant it. Brother Houston, come and lead us in a closing hymn.
Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. Let's go to our Lord in a prayer of thanksgiving. Our most heavenly precious Father, Lord God Almighty, we thank you, Lord, that we can come into your presence through your Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you that you have caused us to be able to make a joyful noise unto thee, to sing praises unto thy name, for teaching us thy way, Lord. We thank you for the message that we've heard here today. Lord, as we've heard, keep us down in the dirt where we belong, as we are worms. Lord, exalt yourself. Cause us to honor and praise thee. Lord, let us never look to ourselves. Keep us from ourselves. Keep us clinging unto thee. Keep us coming to hear the gospel be proclaimed. Lord, only ever let it be the only thing ever taught here. We thank you for all that you give us. Your multitude of mercies and grace. Lord, please be with those who are troubled, weak, and weary. Especially pray for Brother Bruce and Joe, that you would strengthen them. And Lord, you know their needs. Keep us as we go our way. Lord, lead us not to ourselves. Let us not leave the gospel. Lord, by thy grace, cause us to worship and uphold thy name. We pray that thy will be done perfectly on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Let's sing hymn number 442 as we stand together. 442. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, all earth His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard his children. In his arms he carries them all day long. Praise him, praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is come.
over the world victorious, power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Service this evening or Wednesday evening. We'll meet again next Sunday morning by God's grace. You're dismissed.
Oh, I do, don't I? Thank you.
You took it right from the house.